On today's show, we look at the all-time best fantasy teams for the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On for $10 off the best tasting protein bars ever. We are looking at the all-time fantasy teams today for the Milwaukee Bucks, for the Miami Heat, for the Minnesota Timberwolves, looking back from the introduction of the three-point line into the NBA, the best individual total value seasons for each team, trying to make a somewhat make sense rotation and squad out of that, but in general, just picking the best 13 overall seasons from those franchises. And then in the end, we'll pit all these teams against each other to see which squad comes out the best. Do you think I've already gone through the best team in the shows I've done so far, or is the best one still to come? I know the results. You don't. Let's see how it all pans out. So let's look at the Miami Heat to kick things off here. At point guard, it is Tim Hardaway, who had really, really strong years in Miami at the end of his career. This is the 97-98 version of Hardaway, where he was the sixth-ranked player that season. He averaged 19 with 8 assists and 1.7 steals, almost 2 threes. A pretty high-volume three-point shooter through most of his career. Of course, we remember him from, or some of you may remember him playing for Miami, but I remember him playing for the Warriors and then going to Miami and putting up big numbers consistently throughout his career. Really never had, well not really, exactly, never had a season outside of the top 40 until the 99-2000 season, where he was 143rd in total value. Really consistently great numbers put up by Timmy Hardaway. At shooting guard, this is no surprise, it is Dwayne Wade, but more specifically, the 08-09 version of Dwayne Wade, where he was the third-ranked player that year. He was fourth the year after. He would have two other top 10 finishes in his career. He was often let down by the free throw percentage numbers in terms of total value, as well as games played, but on a per-game basis, he had five top 10 finishes overall, including a number one finish in 06-07, but played only 51 games in that season, so that kept him out of that top spot for total value. Wade in this 08-09 season averaged 30 points with 7.5 assists and 2.2 steals and 1.3 blocks. Absolutely astonishing numbers. And he actually shot 77 from the line, which is still a bit of a negative. And he was never able to be an 80% free throw shooter outside of one season. Always in that mid to high 70s, which is okay, but it was never a big strength of his. At small forward,
LeBron James.
Again, no real surprise there. This is the 12-13 version of LeBron. He was the second-ranked player in that season. Now, his first year in Miami in 10-11, he was the first-ranked player, but that's not his best overall fantasy season because overall that 10-11 year, the numbers for players were down. It was a more, the value was more squished in, and his overall Z-score number for that year was 1.1, whereas this season where he finished second, he was 1.45, so it is significantly better, even though he didn't finish first. So that's why often, going just by rank number can be a little bit deceiving because it's not necessarily taking into consideration how well other players do. So this 12-13 season, he averaged 27-8-7, 1.7 steals, shot 57% from the field, which was by far his best fantasy category. And like Wade, had those problems from the free throw line, 75% from the line in that year. We all know about LeBron, so he slides into this team pretty comfortably. At power forward, Lamar Odom's already been on the Lakers all-time team. He's been on the Clippers all-time team. And now here he is on the Miami Heat's all-time team. Only the one season in Miami, but he was the 28th ranked player in 03-04. He averaged 17-10 with over 4 assists, over a steal, almost a block. Okay percentages, nothing great there, nothing great from the three-point line, but nice scoring, good rebounding, good assists, good defensive numbers is what made Odom a solid solidly good fantasy player, but never spectacularly good. But he moves in here at power forward. And then our starting center is Alonzo Mourning. He was on the all-time Hornets team. No surprise with that. He's also here. This is the 99-2000 version where he was the sixth ranked player. His best ever fantasy season. He averaged 22-10 with 3.7 blocks on 55% shooting. Just some big, big numbers there for a big man. Alonzo Mourning, fantastic for a big stretch. But this was the end of the good times for Mourning. The following season, he would be the 95th ranked player and play 13 games only, and then injuries and a real decline started to come. So this was the last really, this was the last good season that Mourning had in the NBA. On the bench, backup point guard Goran Dragic, 14-15 version of Dragic. That was the season that he was traded from Phoenix to Miami. He was the 36th ranked player during that year. 16-3-4.5, never a big assist guy, but what he was a great field goal percentage player as a point guard, 50% from the field. He hit 1.2 threes. He wasn't spectacularly fantastic that season, but he does slide in for this Miami Heat team. Another bloke that's been on multiple squads, I think he was on the Hornets and the Lakers all-time teams, Eddie Jones comes in here in your backup spot, 01-02 version of Jones. He had some absolute monster seasons for the Hornets and the Lakers. Not quite as good for the Heat, but 01-02, he was still the 20th ranked player. He averaged 18 points in 39 minutes. He gave us almost 1.5 steals. He was great from the line. He hit 39% of his threes. Just consistently good stuff from Eddie Jones, and that's why he's appearing on so many of these teams. Another player that did play for the Hornets, and that is Glenn Rice. Started in Miami, moved to Charlotte after that. This is the 93-94 version of Rice, where he was the 13th ranked player. He averaged 21-5. He hit 1.6 triples, a big number for that time. 88% from the line as well. Realistically, though, he was just a scorer, but he was enough of a scorer to be a good fantasy player and be a top 20 player on a per-game basis for like 4 or 5 different years in his career. Sean Marion, we've talked about him already when he was on the Mavericks. When he was on the Mavericks, we're going to talk about him when he's on the Suns as well. That's going to come up. You know about that one. But the 07-08 season, Marion was on a per game basis the 6th ranked player for Miami, 32nd in total value in that season. He averaged 15-10, over 2 steals, 1.4 blocks, 51 from the field, over a 3. Really, really big numbers from Marion. You're going to hear more about him when we do the Phoenix Suns team coming up pretty soon. And then for your backup center, the world. The 15-16 version of Hassan Whiteside. He was the 14th ranked player in that season. He only played 29 minutes, but 14 points, 12 rebounds, 3.7 blocks, 61% from the field. So obviously those block numbers and that field goal percentage gets him over the line. Now, interestingly, when you compare him to Alonzo Mourning, he has similar block numbers, you know, the high threes. But in terms of the Z score value, it's a 5.2 here for Whiteside for getting 3.7 blocks. When you look at Mourning, he got 3.7 blocks and it was a 4.3 Z score. Just again, showing that relative scarcity is important when assessing fantasy value. And in this season where Whiteside did it, blocks just weren't as readily, you couldn't find big block numbers as much. So his number did spike up there, and that's what pushed him into this area. But Whiteside, this was his best season. He would also finish 22nd the year after and then start to fall off considerably before a bit of a renaissance this year, which I think might be a bit fool's gold if we consider that the new norm for Whiteside moving forward. The last three blokes in this rotation, Chris Bosh, the 13-14 version of Bosh, nowhere near as good as what he was in Toronto. He was 27th in this season, averaging 16-6. He just started to take threes. He was a steal and a block per game guy as well. And then we've got the 94 version of Steve Smith. 29th ranked player, Steve Smith. This is his first season of really started to come into his own. 17 points, 5 assists, 1.1 steals, 84% from the line. The year before that, he was plagued by injuries. He still played decent minutes, but only played 48 games. And this is where he sort of started to come. And very much like Odom, a really good fantasy player without being an elite upper echelon guy. And then lastly, Grant Long, the 91-92 version of Grant Long, 39th ranked player that year. 15-8, Long was a power forward-ish type player. Didn't really block any shots, and by didn't block any shots, I mean just nothing. 0.5 blocks per game is pretty piss poor, but 81% shooter from the line, and those 8.4 rebounds were pretty useful. It's also pretty useful if you guys want the best tasting protein bar with a terrible segue, and that is Built Bar. If you go to builtbar.com, you can see the magnificent array of flavors they have. 16 different flavors in total, and 8 of those are nut-free. For those of you dealing with nut allergies, they have got a massive array of flavors that are produced in a nut-free facility to get your protein intake up to scratch. Not only are these great protein bars, but they are the best tasting protein bars you can find. Other protein bars, they taste like you're eating dry cement. These ones, they taste fantastic. It tastes like a candy bar covered in 100% real chocolate, but also low in calories. You're talking about bars that are less than 200 calories per bar while pushing up to 20 grams of protein. That is a great combination, and it's just really hard to find. And pair that with a fantastic taste, you can't go wrong. And now, if you use our promo code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com, you get $10 off your first order. I cannot stress enough how good of a deal this is and how good these Built Bar protein bars taste. Absolutely fantastic stuff. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON and save $10 off your first order. Let's go now on to the next team. It is the Milwaukee Bucks. And starting at point guard, looking at Milwaukee, it's Sidney Moncrief going all the way back to the 81-82 season. He was the 15th ranked player in that season. He had 5 consecutive top 25 finishes in this 81-82 year, just 2 years after the three-point line came in. He wasn't hitting any threes, so I don't really know even know why I mentioned that. But 20 points per game, 7 boards, 5 assists, 1.7 steals, but an immaculate 52% from the field, 81% from the line as well as a guard. He never had those really big assist numbers, but strong scoring and unbelievably good efficiency numbers. Sidney Moncrief comes in there as our point guard. Ray Allen is our shooting guard. The 2000-2001 version of Allen, he was the number one player in fantasy that season. He averaged 22 points with 2.5 triples, which was a lot, 5 rebounds, almost 5 assists, 1.5 steals, and did it with great efficiency numbers. So he wasn't a real massive standout right across the board. In fact, it's so weird to see a player being the number one fantasy player and their best category is 3-pointers, but that's exactly what it was for Allen back then. He was still pretty strong with free throw percentage and scoring, but just nice, solid production almost right across the board without any big glaring negatives got him that number one spot in the 2000-2001 season. We go a little bit more recent for small forward. It's Chris Middleton, 17-18 Chris Middleton. He was the 13th ranked player. He averaged 20-5 with 4 assists, 1.4 steals, strong efficiency numbers. Again, almost like that Allen season, just solid production right across the board here for Middleton. And I think it would surprise people to know that he was the 13th ranked player back in 17-18. And then at power forward, no surprise again, it is Yanni Antetokounmpo. He was 4th ranked in 16-17. He was also 4th ranked in 18-19 on a total basis, but the overall value of his 16-17 season was a little bit better, 1.21 versus 1.05. That was before his free throw percentage really started to fall off a cliff. He was at 77% that season versus that 18-19 where he was at 73%. He also had higher block and steal numbers, but the scoring and rebounding were low. But overall, those balances meant that the 16-17 season from Yanni on a total basis, he also played 80 games versus 72, was better. The 18-19 season for Antetokounmpo, he was better on a per game basis. He ranked 3rd in that season, but those extra 8 games made up the difference. And it's all really just splitting hairs because we know Yanni was going to be in the best all-time Bucks lineup. Here he is, and we're set. At center, Jack Sigma. 87-88 version of Sigma. Most of his big years came as a member of the Seattle Supersonics. 87-88, though, he was still strong for Milwaukee. The 15th ranked player that year averaged almost 17 points with almost 9 boards, over 3 assists, a block, over a steal. And this is a center. He hit 92% of his free throws on 4.2 attempts. Now, literally anybody hitting 92% is a ridiculous number, but this bloke was a center. He had multiple seasons of plus 90% free throws, which is just an astonishing number, and that really was his calling card there. Yeah, good scoring, good rebounding, but unbelievable free throws, which is not something that you always get out of big men. So that's your starting five. Your backup point guard is Sam Cassell. We're going to talk about him a little bit more on the Minnesota side of things. This is the 99-2000 version of Cassell. He was age 30 this year and 15th ranked player, averaging 19-9. We'll get back to him soon. Another backup guard, Paul Pressey, the 85-86 version of Pressey. He was the 11th ranked player that season, and not because of high volume threes, but because he averaged 8 assists and over 2 steals with almost a block a game as well, and shot 49% from the field. But those big steals, big assists, and really good out of position blocks is what pushed him up to being a first round player back in the day. Marcus Johnson, a career cut short by injuries, but still put up some really, really good numbers. And the 79-80 version of Marcus Johnson is the one we're looking at here. He was the 13th ranked player in that season. Not a three-point shooter at all, but 22 points per game, 7 rebounds as a small forward, 1.3 steals, and 54% shooting. Elite stuff. That was his best category back then as well. Just super efficiency stuff from Marcus Johnson. And then your backup power forward. It's not rugged Ronnie Baker. It is Vin Baker. Probably you can consider him a center, but I say him and Terry Cummings, who's the next guy on my list, yeah, relatively interchangeable there in the front court on the, off the bench. 96-97 for Baker. This was his last season in Milwaukee. He would go to Seattle after this. He was age 25 in this year, the 31st ranked player. Averaged 21 points in 41 minutes with 10 boards and 1.4 blocks. Didn't shoot well from the free throw line, but good field goal percentage. But it was the big rebounding and the big scoring and the strong enough block numbers that made Baker a solid fantasy player. We talked about Terry Cummings already for his time with the then San Diego Clippers. He then would go to Milwaukee, and this is his third overall season, 84-85, 33rd ranked player, averaging 24 points with 9 rebounds. Didn't block many shots, but big scoring from Cummings, as well as 50% shooting from the field. And then we move into the last three rotation spots. Eric Murdoch, who started his career in Utah as a bench guy, and then big minutes straight away the next year in Milwaukee. This is the 93-94 version of Murdoch, where he would average 15-7 with 2.4 steals and hit 0.8 threes as well in that season. Michael Redd, 05-06 ready. 16th ranked player that season. Of course, injuries would cut his career pretty short, but he was a big, big scorer. 25 points per game. He would have a 6-year run of scoring over 20 points per game. He hit over 2 threes. He didn't do a massive amount else apart from that, except for get to the line. And he had 88% of his free throws on 7 attempts per game, which is obviously a really good number. And then the last bloke, it is your mate, Bucks in 6, Brandon Jennings, the 11-12 version of Jennings. He was the 8th ranked player in that season. That is staggering to think of. 19-3, he hit 2 threes. He had 5.5 assists and 1.6 steals. Like, what the hell made him good? Well, he played all of the games. It was the lockout shortened season, so 66 games helped him. He got solid enough steals, okay assist numbers, but there's nothing there that really stands out as big, big numbers from Jennings that make you go, shit, he was an absolute fantasy beast. It was good-ish assists, good-ish steals, good-ish threes, and okay scoring. And then, of course, he would tear his Achilles and then be out of the league really, really quickly. So that is your all-time Milwaukee Bucks squad. Now let's go to the all-time Minnesota Timberwolves squad, and we start with the bloke that we talked about already, Sam Cassell, the 03-04 version of Cassell, which amazingly, he was the 6th ranked player at age 34. He averaged 20 points in 35 minutes, 7 assists, 1.3 steals, elite efficiency numbers, along with those high assists is what got him there, 49% shooting, 87%. From the line, but a massive late career resurgence. I remember him getting drafted to Houston and then had stints with Dallas and New Jersey. But really, I think we majorly remember him from his couple of seasons there in Minnesota. At shooting guard, it's Wally Szczerbiak. Again, you remember Szczerbiak ending his career with Cleveland, but he put up some big numbers there for Minnesota to begin things. This is the 01-02 season. He was the 30th ranked player, 19 points per game. Why was he good in fantasy? Well, 51% shooting and 83% from the line. So many of these older players, their numbers come, or their value comes from having elite type efficiency numbers and good scoring with not much peripherally, and that's the case there for Szczerbiak as well. Christian Laettner started his career in Minnesota, and I've got him as a small forward because when he was in Minnesota, despite him being 6'11 and playing center towards the end of his career, he was started in Minnesota as a small forward. That's how he began his career. So this is the 94-95 version of Laettner, the 23rd ranked player, 16-7, 1.3 steals, 1.1 blocks, good percentage numbers. Just again, a really solid performer right across the board. No real standout category, but good numbers in almost every area meant that he was that solid, 30 to 50 ranked player for a big stretch of time. And then things would fall off pretty quickly after the 97-98 season in Atlanta. At power forward, no surprise here, one of the best players of all time, and that is Kevin Garnett. The 03-04 season, Garnett was the number one player in that season. He was also the number one player in 04-05 and in 99-2000, but this was his best overall season, this 03-04 season. He averaged 24 and 14. That is astonishing. 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 steals, and 2.2 blocks. Just ridiculous numbers. He didn't shoot threes. He should have. He would have been able to hit them. But that is an all-time fantasy-type season from Garnett, and he slides in there, no worries. The Timberwolves are absolutely blessed with just a stack of good big men. And their starting center is another one of those good big men. It is the 17-18 version of Karl Anthony Towns, who was the fourth-ranked player that season. He averaged 21-12 with 1.4 blocks on 55-86 and hit 1.5 threes, 42% three-point shooting. He's going to be this top five-ish sort of guy for many, many years to come, it appears. No reason to think that what he's doing now and you know, before the injury this season is not something that's going to be able to be continued. But Townsie slides in as their starting center. Things get a little rough with the guards on the bench. Michael Williams is your backup point guard, 92-93 version of Williams. Now, he was the 11th ranked player that season. Why? Because he got a shit ton of assists. He got over 8 assists per game in that 92-93 season and 2.2 steals, which was actually down from the 3 steals he got the year before. 91% from the line on big attempts as well. He's a massive Christmas tree. And by Christmas tree, I mean super bright greens in your fantasy value and dark red. So big values in assists, steals, and free throws, but bad turnovers, bad field goal percentage, no rebounds. So they're your reds, but some really high peaks there for Michael Williams. Ricky Davis is our backup shooting guard. 06-07 version of Davis. He was the 29th ranked player that year. 17-4 with 5 assists, 1 steal, 47-84. Yeah, really just solid enough numbers, which basically is what Ricky Davis was. Never good enough to be a top 40 player or even a top 50 player, but he had multiple seasons of 54, 51, 52, around that sort of an area, and he slides in there. While Jim Butler, General Saunas,
because he's my butler.
He is our backup small forward, the 17-18 version of Butler. He was only the 32nd ranked player that season on a total basis because he played only 59 games, but per game he was 14th, averaging 22-5-5 with 2 steals, 47-85, big numbers from General Saunas. That would be his last, or his only season in Minnesota before being transferred, that's the wrong word, traded over to Philadelphia with that nonsense in the following season. Your backup power forward. On any other team, Kevin Love would be the starting power forward, but when Kevin Garnett's ahead of you, he has to sit on the bench. This is the 13-14 version of Love. He was the fourth-ranked player in that season. He averaged 26-13. He hit 2.5 triples. He averaged 4.5 assists, and he shot 82% from the line on 8 attempts per game. We forget how much of a dominant factor Kevin Love was in fantasy back in those early Minnesota days, and much like Chris Bosh, which we talked about with Miami, once he went and joined the LeBron team and became that third option, the numbers went from top 10 to being top 40, top 50. And that's exactly the same thing that happened with Love. And now, of course, injuries are playing a big part in his career. Backup center, Al Jefferson, 07-08 version of Jefferson. He had big numbers for Utah as well. Sort of just fell out of the NBA completely, though, as the game went away from him after those last couple of seasons in Indiana. 07-08, Jefferson was the 25th ranked player. He averaged 21-11 with 1.5 blocks on 50% shooting. Again, some real bright greens, but no assists, no steals, bad free throws, and didn't hit any threes. But 21-11, that is the Zebo corollary. He gives you 20-11 in the two most visible stats, and they look great. And then we forget about some of the other lacking areas, although the field goal percentage and blocks were still pretty strong for Al Jefferson. And to round out this team, we've got Tommy Gugliotta, the 96-97 version of Gugliotta. He started with Washington and went to Minnesota. He was the 13th ranked player here. He averaged 21-9 with over 4 assists. That is huge. Plus 1.6 steals and 1.1 blocks. A really, really good fantasy player. Good on the free throws as well. That 16th ranked season was a real strong one for him in that year. Another player to end out this rotation, Steph Marbury, the 98-99 version of Marbury. This would be his third NBA season. He was the 14th ranked player, 21-9 with 1.2 steals. So pretty obvious where his value is coming from there. Scoring and assists. Hit some threes, he got some steals, but scoring an assist is what pushed him as a second round player. And then another point guard at the end here, Terrell Brandon, who we talked about on the all-time Cavs team. He would then go to Milwaukee and to Minnesota as well. This is the 99-2000 version of Brandon, where he was the 19th ranked player, averaging 17-9 with 1.9 steals. So big assists and big steal numbers for Brandon, and great from the free throw line as well, to round out this all-time Minnesota Timberwolves team. And that'll do it for for me today, guys. I'll be back tomorrow with another Dynasty show. We'll be looking at starting to look at the Southwest Division, the last division we're covering there for Dynasty Value. Make sure you check out the mock draft show I did on Friday. Subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up, tell your friends, share it, leave a comment. All of that stuff is super helpful. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.